Join me in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I sat down on Thursday of this past week and began thinking about what I might say to you this morning as we all prepare to come to the table and share this meal. I will confess that at that moment on Thursday, I really didn't have any idea of what I was going to say this morning. I was kind of beginning from scratch. And so the first thing I did is I pulled out the record I keep of the comments I make, and I just looked back over the year and thought about what I had said previously. And I noticed something. I don't know that I had appreciated this before. But I noticed that my choice of subjects tended to sway back and forth between two extremes. For example, I noticed earlier this year I talked about this meal as a symbol of celebration with roots that go back to the great messianic meal that's described in the prophets with the coming of the Messiah. But then a few weeks later, I was back up here talking about the cup of God's wrath, still sort of tied to the meal, but a very different perspective on it. And I saw that again and again in my comments. Things that on the one hand would give us cause for celebration, and then the next, something to grieve. Messages that fill us with joy, messages that fill us with sorrow. It just kind of goes back and forth. And I guess that's the nature of things as we come to this moment in our worship, isn't it? The death of Jesus is a paradox. For example, it is the ultimate example of human hatred, while at the very same time, the greatest demonstration of divine love, isn't it? Isn't that odd? It is humanity's worst moment. And the greatest, all at the same time. And so maybe we should anticipate this conflict of emotions, this emotional swing back and forth from week to week, from celebration to grief, and back again. It's all part of the story. And so with that in mind, I want to invite you to consider a dark part of the story. One that I think is critical. One of the things I think we remember as we share the meal together is how awful sin is. That's why I invited you to Romans 5, because in this text, it seems to me that Paul is pretty vivid about our predicament. Will you begin with me in verse 1? Romans 5, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us." Now watch this, verse 6. "For while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, even though for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I would call your attention to the four words there that describe us. Verse 6, we are helpless. The end of verse 6, ungodly. Verse 8, we are sinners. Verse 10, enemies. Helpless because we chose to sin. Chose to be ungodly. We can't do anything about it. We can't fix the problem on our own. Enemies, not because God doesn't love us, but because we are rebels. By choice. Against his will. It's an ugly picture. It's where we are. Reminds me of Ephesians 2, the opening of that chapter. Verse 1, you are dead in your sins, Paul said. Verse 2, you're taking your cue from the devil. Verse 3, destined to be on the receiving end of the wrath of God. It's just not possible to exaggerate how ugly this predicament is. But it gets worse. Hold your finger at Romans 5 and then go on to 1 Peter 1 because Peter will tell us what our rescue will cost. What will it take to get us out of this mess? 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, he writes, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That's the price for our rescue. And if you flip back to Romans 5, Paul talks about that too with great emphasis. There were four words that described our condition and then four phrases that describe how God responds to that. Verse 6, Christ died for us. And he says it again. Verse 8, Christ died for us. Verse 9, we are justified by his blood. Verse 10, we are reconciled through the death of God's Son. He's an ugly picture, but an important one, particularly in our world today that trivializes sin. Too much of culture about most sin, people's attitude is, it's no big deal. And as we live in the middle of that culture, the risk is that we begin to soak it up too. And yet, as we strive to resist that, I would remind you that there is a great Bible truth that reminds us again and again of how awful sin is. It is the cross. And so this memorial then too becomes a weekly reminder. That sin is a big deal. I don't know what anyone else chooses to think about during the Lord's Supper except for me. And I can tell you what I like to think about. I like to think about rescue. And I like to think about cleansing. And I like to think about salvation. And I would like to get up here every Sunday and celebrate just those things. And if I did, the picture would be terribly incomplete, wouldn't it? Because none of that would mean anything if I did not recognize how awful sin is. And that I am a sinner by choice. And my rescue cost an awful price. And that needs to be grieved. In fact, maybe if we pondered that more frequently at the table on Sunday, we would battle sin better on Monday. So, let's come to the table. Let's remember.